In an era obsessed with flat hierarchies and self-management, Why Managers Matter delivers a compelling wake-up call. While tech companies proudly tout their bossless structures and management gurus predict the death of hierarchy, reality tells a different story. Even Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella acknowledges the book's clear-eyed assessment of management's essential role. But why this disconnect between trendy management theory and organizational reality? The truth is that while autonomy and decentralization have their place, the fundamental need for coordination and authority hasn't disappeared. In fact, as work becomes more complex and interdependent, effective management becomes more crucial, not less. This counterintuitive insight challenges everything we think we know about modern organizations and might just save your company from a costly experiment in organizational chaos. We've all heard the seductive narrative: traditional management is dying, replaced by peer networks and decentralization. Companies like Zappos and Valve are celebrated as pioneers. Look closer, though, and the story falls apart. Zappos quietly abandoned its holacracy experiment after encountering problems, including, ironically, increased bureaucracy. At Valve, despite claims that nobody reports to anybody, founder Gabe Newell clearly calls the shots, with former employees describing power dynamics that feel a lot like high school. This bossless narrative misunderstands what companies fundamentally do. Basic economics tells us organizing a firm requires someone to do the organizing. Otherwise, why not just operate as independent contractors? While delegating responsibility has benefits, completely flattening hierarchies creates coordination nightmares. The paradox is striking. Popular management thinking increasingly rejects hierarchies, yet evidence suggests hierarchy is natural and essential. Even in supposedly flat teams, informal hierarchies inevitably emerge. The question isn't whether to have hierarchy, but what kind creates the most value. Anti-management sentiment emerged as traditional manufacturing declined, U.S. steel industry shrinking from 650,000 workers in 1953 to 142,000 by 2015, and faith in corporate hierarchies waned. The counterculture movement rejected corporate conformity while celebrating individual freedom. This cultural shift transformed management thinking. Warren Bennis introduced the adocracy in 1968, flexible structures enabling adaptation. Maslow's hierarchy encouraged companies to help employees reach self-actualization. These thinkers essentially reimagined companies as university-like collectives, where knowledge workers pursued individual interests. Though the age of Aquarius has passed, its values of autonomy persist. Today's graduates increasingly choose entrepreneurship over traditional careers, combining ambition with social impact. Tech companies position themselves as alternatives to corporate life. When Google proclaims "don't be evil" or Airbnb promotes "belonging," they tap into this countercultural legacy, even while building multi-billion dollar enterprises with clear leadership structures. Haven't you noticed this contradiction? Companies that most loudly proclaim their revolutionary organizational structures often have the most powerful, opinionated leaders behind the scenes. What's marketed as revolutionary is usually rebranded conventional wisdom. Ricardo Semler pioneered radical decentralization at Brazilian manufacturer Semco in the 1980s, replacing hierarchy with an organizational circle. The company thrived under him but declined after his departure, suggesting the bossless structure actually depended on his leadership. W.L. Gore's Lattice organization eliminated management titles, with leaders chosen by consensus. Yet they maintained small plants, under 150 workers, because effective coordination requires manageable group sizes. The academic foundations aren't new either. Burns and Stalker contrasted organic with mechanistic organizations in 1961. Douglas McGregor's Theory X, authoritarian, versus Theory Y, participative, management dates to 1960. Employee-led organization concepts trace to 19th-century cooperative movements. most supposedly revolutionary organizational forms have historical precedents. Decentralized networking dates to Victorian times. Open innovation to the late 19th century, and decentralization emerged in 1820s France. When someone presents a radical new organizational model, ask, what problem is this solving that traditional structures can't address? Look beyond trendy terminology, and you'll find most revolutionary organizations are simply traditional structures rebranded. Spotify organizes around squads, tribes, chapters, and guilds. Strip away the terminology, and you have a classic matrix organization dating back to the 1950s aerospace industry. Zappos' 2013 adoption of Holacracy proved challenging, with 18% of employees leaving, including 38% of the tech department. By 2020, they had quietly reinstated traditional managers while maintaining the circles terminology. Three major problems emerged: excessive meeting bureaucracy, scaling difficulties with growing interdependencies, and diminished customer focus. Otacon's spaghetti organization provides another cautionary example. In 1991, this Danish hearing aid manufacturer abolished formal job titles for self-organizing projects. Despite initial success, they abandoned the structure by 1996. The approach generated too many ideas while creating confusion, with employees frustrated by colleagues who overcommitted and arbitrary interventions by the remaining products committee. The fundamental error in the bossless narrative is applying market language to firms. While companies operate within markets, their internal workings are categorically different. Markets lack a single objective and aren't designed, while companies are purposefully created with specific aims, like Tesla's mission to accelerate sustainable transport. Flat hierarchies with high employee empowerment succeed under specific circumstances. When tasks can be broken into self-contained modules with minimal interdependencies, autonomous work thrives. Companies like Valve succeed with flatter structures because their production processes allow independent work. Morningstar, the billion-dollar food processor, operates its self-management model within predictable, linear processes. However, most companies operate in unstable environments with constant technological changes, shifting customer demands, and competitive threats. When problems affect only one part of a modular company, they can be contained. But when issues impact the entire organization, like ethical violations or production failures, hierarchical coordination becomes essential. Consider your own work. How many decisions require cross-departmental input? How often do priorities shift, requiring resource reallocation? How frequently must someone balance competing interests? These scenarios reveal why hierarchy persists, not from tradition or power hunger, but because it efficiently solves coordination problems better than alternatives. The future of management isn't eliminating hierarchy, but evolving how authority operates. Modern hierarchy focuses on designing systems rather than dictating actions, creating processes that attract self-motivated workers within flexible structures. As Hire's Zhang Ruimin explains, today's leader is more the ship's architect or designer than its captain. Trust forms the foundation of effective delegation, exemplified by Nordstrom's concise employee handbook. Rule number one, use best judgment in all situations. There will be no additional rules. Research confirms that trusting signals improve motivation, while micromanagement undermines it. Some organizations practice dynamic delegation, where authority shifts according to circumstances. Emergency medical units demonstrate this approach, with leadership typically held by the most experienced member who delegates to avoid overload but reclaims authority in critical situations. Digital tools enhance delegation capabilities, but managers must resist measuring everything at the expense of human judgment. Effective leaders balance clear authority with genuine empowerment, providing direction without stifling initiative. This means strategic priorities cascading from leadership, with teams given autonomy in implementation. It requires feedback loops where frontline insights influence strategic decisions, and a culture where authority is earned through expertise and character rather than position alone. This isn't a bossless utopia. It's effective management adapted for today's complex challenges.